Good afternoon, everybody. I represent a group that's trying to put together a East Coast broccoli industry, and I'm from Lehigh and UC Davis and Cornell, and you can see our collaborators here. And it's funded through the Specialty Crops Research Initiative through the USDA. Got to get that plug in there. All right, so the issue is that broccoli is a high-value specialty crop, but the problem is it's all produced on the West Coast, and most of the people are on the East Coast. And you can see here from this pie chart, right, we've got 90% of it, the broccoli is being produced in California, and the little bit that's not produced in California is on the West Coast anyway, or at least towards the West Coast in Arizona, and just a very, very small amount is produced in on the East Coast. And one of the issues, and I know the weather's changed a little bit, this is somewhat older data, but there's been a drought that's been going on for quite a while in California, and then of course the drought ended and they got way too much rain, but it kind of shows the issues there, that we have a food security issue if you've got a food product that's concentrated where it's growing. And it's very interesting, it might be that broccoli production causes droughts, I'm not sure, but you can see these things that if you overlaid them, that wherever there's more broccoli, there was more drought. So it's really a big issue as far as broccoli production from a food security standpoint. So you might say, well, they grow all the broccoli in California, why don't you grow some somewhere else? Well, you can do that, but unfortunately, this is kind of what it looks like if you grow it on the East Coast, because the climate is very different, right? So it gets very hot, it gets very humid. It's not like the issue with the weather forecaster in California, where every day it's 75 and sunny. You have a lot of variation. You have very hot, humid evenings on the East Coast, and this is what the broccoli looks like when you grow it. And as I always like to say, people eat with their eyes. We don't really care what anything tastes like, but it's got to look pretty. And most people wouldn't consider this to look pretty. So the East Coast Broccoli Project was put together in order to reduce the dependence on California broccoli, to reduce negative environmental impacts due to long-distance transportation. Now, this is a whole presentation in and of itself. I really doubt this one. I saw it in the literature, and some people doubted this also. But supply chains are very, very efficient. So anyway, this is for a presentation for another day, but I want to throw it in there because it is a concern that people have, whether it's a real one or not. And then, of course, increase the availability of locally grown broccoli. So we've got some amazing researchers and plant breeders that are putting together new strains of broccoli. And here you can see on the left-hand side, we have a California-grown broccoli. And here we have some that was grown in New York State. So it looks a lot better than the one we were looking at before. But it's not quite the same, right? And again, we eat with our eyes. It's like, huh, it doesn't look exactly right. So is that something we can live with? Well, that's what we wanted to know. We wanted to see if people would be interested in this. And luckily, there's this new movement. It's almost a new religion called locally sourced, locally grown. And very, very popular. And I joke about it being a religion because I met some really passionate people that were really into locally grown. So we thought, well, this could really be an advantage. Maybe we don't have to be exactly like California in order to be popular. And it seems that consumers, and we also had some work that we did on broccoli with consumers, that they preferred locally grown as long as they knew it was locally grown. If they didn't, then they actually preferred the California. So what we did was we surveyed some broccolis. Listen to me. We surveyed, you know, I did talk to them a few times. They didn't answer me. But we surveyed some buyers, and we wanted to see if it would be acceptable, and whether they'd accept the somewhat reduced quality, and if they'd be willing to pay a little bit more. So we surveyed the buyers, and what we did, and let me show you here, right? You don't look at words. What we did, we showed them photographs, right? So we would say, well, what do you think about this color? Now, when I go into my analysis, I'm going to talk about how this is dark green, how this is light green, and this is purple. But we didn't give any kind of suggestion at all to the buyers. We just showed it to them and asked them what they thought about it. And on the first one, we told them that it wasn't local. And we wanted to know, well, did you prefer this? Do you prefer this? You know, is this one acceptable? Right? They would mark this down. And we went through this whole process with all these different attributes, and then we did the same thing, tell them that it was procured locally. Now, one of the problems you might say is, like, you're showing them the same pictures, right? It's hard to fool people that way. But we were making an assumption that buyers are professionals and that they can take this leap of faith, that they can look at it in both cases. We do. We would have preferred to show them actual broccoli, and we're hoping to do that in the future. But this is just some preliminary research we're looking at to see if it's going in the right direction. So the attribute in this case was the color, and then the value would have been whether it's preferred, acceptable, or unacceptable. So we had 27 buyers answer our survey, and you can see right away, one of the issues at the end is very small, right? And we put that in our write-up, and this has been published in the Journal of Food Distribution Research, and you know, it was one of the things we brought up. It's one of the things that the reviewers brought up. And we showed them these photographs, and this slide just describes what I told you in the last one. And one of the questions the reviewers brought up, and I thought it was a good question, was, well, what's your response rate, right? Was it skewed more for certain types of buyers than other ones? And actually, you can see that it wasn't. About a third of the buyers were from what I refer to as natural food stores, right? Most of them were small local food stores, specialized in organic, local, that sort of thing. And the response rate was just over half, about the same thing for conventional grocery stores. For by size, very similar numbers, right? Whether it's local, regional, or national, very similar response rates. And then as far as wholesalers, supermarkets, and supercenters, I'm going to say they're very similar. You may say, well, that one's only 48 and that's 75. Well, if one less supercenter would have responded, it would be at 50, right? So, again, some of the problems with having a small end. So we had surveyed a total of 49. We had a response rate of 27. I thought that was pretty good. It was kind of painful. You know, I thought I was going to get into a couple fist fights. But they did answer the survey. I can be very threatening. And here's some of the results that we got. Many of them were procuring local. Almost all of them thought it was a positive feature. And the conventional ones, and of course, right, that's how it always is. We want the best quality. We want perfect delivery. Better taste really good. And by the way, we're not going to pay any more for it, right? So that's what you see with the conventional ones. So 5.9% would consider paying more. But over half, and this one was significant, over half of the natural food sellers would consider a higher price. So I'm going to tie that in later on. And then you can see that most of them had procured local broccoli, and they felt that having it sourced from the East Coast would be an advantage. And by the way, that's one of the issues, too, is, you know, it's hard to get locally sourced broccoli in February if you live in New York. So we wanted to know, did they prefer East Coast also? And we found that they did. We would start in Florida and eventually wind up in Maine as the season moves forward. All right, so here's the model. If you were ag economist, this is where everybody goes, ooh, wow, doesn't that freak you out? It's an equation, right? Everybody's going, everybody, wow, the model, man, it's really awesome. Okay, well, anyway, we were looking at whether it was procured local. Does that have an effect? If it was a natural food store, would it have an effect? And then we had the value and our attribute, and we put those together. And that is supposed to be a beta. That drives me crazy. It must be a different version. So it should have been an ordinal regression. Our N was too small. We couldn't do an ordinal regression. So we bifurcated the data into a different sort of preferred and acceptable, where under preferred, it's one of its preferred, zero of its something else, and that was that it was acceptable or not acceptable. And then we had a lower bar that we had to hit for acceptable, and that's if it's preferred or acceptable, and zero if it is not. So basically, we just moved acceptable over there. So these are our results, and we find most of these are not too shocking. They preferred green. Light green was okay, not the best. Purple they didn't tend to like, though interestingly enough, and I'll show you how that ties in also. Some of the natural food sellers thought that purple was a good thing, right? And I think there's a lot of potential for that, by the way. They liked the small beads a lot. The medium beads were okay. The large beads they don't like. The uniform bean heads they liked, but not too uniform. And interesting, they preferred the short stems as opposed to the flush stems, and then they didn't like the longer stems. This is a pet peeve of mine, as I've been in the industry for a long time, when farmers are cutting things off and throwing them away that their customers want, right? So it's costing them not just what the customer likes, as far as the opinion of their product, but also it's costing them yield, which costs them a fortune. And then the maturity, as long as it was optimally mature or more, they were pretty happy with that. They don't like it immature. The bead sides, whether it's uniform or semi-uniform, was fine. Not uniform was not fine. And the big thing that we found that we didn't expect was local had no effect on quality. So like I said before, it's a great thing, but it better be the same quality. Or we're not going to pay a dime more for it, right? So that's what we find with most buyers. Interesting, though, natural food buyers tended to be more forgiving of quality overall, which you can see here, right? So here's where that purple came in, right? The natural food guys were saying, yeah, that's actually kind of cool. And they really didn't care about stem length, and they really didn't care about maturity. It was the conventional buyers, or from the buyers from conventional stores, that were the ones that were worried about that. So we find they preferred dark green heads, no surprise there. Small beads, uniform heads and bead sizes, and small and specialty sellers had less rigorous quality demands, and small and specialty sellers will pay premium for local. But there was no difference whether it was procured locally or not. It did not affect our equation. So some of the recommendations we made for farmers is, as on the East Coast, if you're going to get into something that's new, like broccoli, start small, right, and go to these small retailers or wholesalers, because they're not going to be able to take much volume. They're willing to pay you more, which is always good when you're getting into something new and you're in that runway, whether you're trying to figure out whether you're going to make money or not. And they're more forgiving on quality, so if you start making some mistakes early on, you can probably get past it and you can ramp up later on. For the larger retailers, and the larger retailers tended to be the conventional ones. And I got a cool question mark here. Thank everybody. And I also have the regression tables if anybody's interested. That's all I got. There's those cool tables. All right.
Questions? Or all right. I feel better about being behind the podium. Wes? Yes, sir.
Well, having grown broccoli in California and the East Coast, I can just tell you that it's so easy and cheap for us to grow broccoli. You're cracking in the market, it's really going to be difficult. So there's two parts to try to crack that market. One would be if you outright want to replace the broccoli that's coming in. And the other is if you want to find a special niche for your broccoli. You're probably better off trying to grow something like purple heads or broccoli salt or something like that that fits the niche than just trying to outright replace it. Because it's just so cheap and easy for us to calibrate and grow.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I read that, right? And sometimes it's a rotation crop and they need it for pest control.
That's it, exactly.
And so they may grow it even if they're losing money. So I think the local market is very important. And also, I'm personally very excited about the purple broccoli, right?
Yeah.
I was using the Purdue chicken example. You know, if like chicken used to be white, and he's a really wonderful white skinned chicken, but like, oh, yellow's better. And suddenly, that's the preference. And I think he's selling it as the purple broccoli. It's not only a superfood, but it has even more antioxidants. That's why it's purple.
Yeah, I think it would be very good. Yeah, good point about that.
It's hard to compete with California.
The government keeps does everything it can to make you more competitive.